Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome, everybody, to Onceable, a podcast brought to you from the folks at Hypeable.com. We're here to talk about the latest episode of Once Upon a Time, Poor Unfortunate Soul. It just makes me want to start singing every time I hear that. I'm channeling my inner Ursula. I just feel like I have to break into song. So in any case, why don't we do our traditional thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs sideways? I should say that I am Laura, and I am joined tonight by Karen, Brittany, and Kristen. So Karen, why don't we kick it off with you? Was it thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs sideways for you?
I'm going to go with thumbs up this time, which is kind of a relief after the last couple episodes that I wasn't super into, but I really liked seeing Ursula's origin story. I really liked having a little bit more hook, and I feel like this propelled the plot further than it has the last couple of episodes, so I'm really excited for what's coming up, and hopefully the ball really gets rolling here.
Cool. Brittany, how about you?
I was definitely thumbs sideways for the whole beginning because I was frustrated that Ursula got Ariel's story from The Little Mermaid, and I probably shouldn't have watched The Little Mermaid that afternoon, but it was on ABC Family, and I couldn't turn it off. So it was, like, really fresh in my mind. But let me tell you, Tiffany Boone's acting really pushed it to a thumbs up. She was so good as a young Ursula. It was unbelievable.
My God. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I adored her. I thought she was awesome. I'm not as much of a fan of adult Ursula, but I loved young Ursula. She was awesome. Kristen, how about you?
It was definitely a thumbs up for me, just because A, August didn't disappear by the end of the episode, so yay. And I really did like the Hook and Ursula stuff. The girl that played her, Tiffany Boone, I'm pretty sure was on The Following last season.
Yes, she was. She was Mandy, and I kept expecting her to go nuts.
Like, to be creepy and scary. So yes. It added an extra layer, I think. But I really did like her, too. So yeah, it was good for me. Not like way, way up, but it was a good episode.
Yeah, for me too. I think, Brittany, I'm kind of along the lines with you. I was thumb sideways-ish until we got young Ursula, and I loved her. I adored her. I also adored seeing Ernie Hudson. I just wanted to start going like, who are you going to call? And like, yeah, seriously. I was like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's Ernie Hudson. So that was pretty cool. I was into it. For that, I guess, like, problems, I had a couple of problems with it, which was, I liked the Ursula script. I just have never really been enamored with the actress who plays the adult Ursula, and I liked her a little better this episode, but that's not saying very much. So I was happy that the story arc wrapped up on this one. And yeah, so I guess I'll leave it at that for now, and then we'll get into it more as we discuss the different points of the episode. So, as always, we have had our favorite quotes, and there are a couple of really good ones this time. I think I'm going to kick it off myself because mine is just sort of a weird one. And mine was, "Don't worry, you can thank me later." And that's from Ariel, and it just kind of struck me funny because my husband, who was taken to watching Once Upon a Time with me again now, was watching because it's not Frozen anymore. He didn't like it when it was Frozen. And he said, "Did Ariel just say you can F me later?" And I'm like, "No, sweetheart. It's a family show."
Whoa.
That may be going on, but nobody's announcing it. So I was like, they might want to pay a little more attention to diction on Once Upon a Time. So that was, so for the rest of the evening, I was going, "Don't worry, you can thank me later." So anyway, that was my quote. So Brittany, how about you? What was your favorite quote?
Mine was from August, and it's when him and Regina are left alone, and he says, "Just because the boy doesn't remember being me doesn't mean I don't remember being the boy." And it's kind of just like, listen, remember what you did to me, and I remember, like, you losing your cool and everything else that happened when I was a child, so don't think you can try and pull a fast one on me, like, real quick.
That was such a great quote. That made me just like was like, oh gosh, we've so missed August. It was so great having him back, and stuff like that just made it me like appreciate having him back this episode so much more. Love August. Kristen, how about you?
Mine is a Regina quote, because lately it's just not an episode of Once Upon a Time if Regina is not being snarky and wonderful. Come on, she always is. But her, it's when she was talking to Cruella and she says, oh please, I was torturing people back when you were still playing with puppies. Just fabulous.
Loved it. Very, very cool. And that actually got retweeted a bunch of times too, from what I saw. Karen, how about you?
Mine was from Ursula, who had a couple of pretty good lines this episode, both when she was younger and when she was older. But my definite favorite was when she was talking to Hook and she goes, never go up against a woman who has eight hands, especially when you only have one. And I was like, okay, kind of a low blow, but that was really good.
It's so true. And when he was like brandishing the gun, I was literally screaming at the screen, aim at the tentacles, aim at the tentacles.
Yeah. So. And Laura, I was a little, I mean, I understand you have a funny story behind your line, but I was a little shocked you didn't pick one from Will when he's insulting the size of Hook's ship.
I did enjoy that one. I have to say, I did really enjoy that one too. That was about questioning the size of a pirate ship as he's looking through that was just. Yeah, bad angle, guys. Bad angle. So, all right. So let's kick it off talking about the episode itself. Why don't we start with the past? And in the past, we get to see, as we said, that backstory of King Poseidon, who's all about apparently death and destruction and her sort of having Ariel's song singing people to death. That was like a really, sort of interesting spin on that. And then we have Killian, who befriends her and promises to take her to Glower Haven. Now, I don't quite remember, is that a town from The Little Mermaid itself, or where did the name of that come from?
Because I just watched it. When Prince Eric is on the ship and he gets the statue for his birthday, and he's like, oh, I was hoping to give it to you as a wedding gift. And he's like, come on, you didn't really think I would go for the girl from Glower Haven. So... I didn't even catch that in the actual episode, but I get the reference now because I remember the movie.
Oh, cool. Cause I totally did not.
Yeah.
Did
that was like, that there were so many things. Like if I hadn't seen the movie just then, and I've seen it 100 times, I wouldn't have picked up on them.
Interesting. Cool. So what did you guys like? I mean, we've talked a little bit about, I know Brittany, you gave your opinion. What did the rest of you feel about sort of that merging of Ariel's story into Ursula? I mean, in particular, for me, the most noticeable thing are those very iconic Ariel notes that I'm not even going to sing them because that would just be pathetic and everybody's ears will die. But you know what I'm talking about. It was weird for me hearing those very iconic notes from Little Mermaid being attributed to Ursula. What did you guys, Karen and Kristen, think about this idea of merging those stories together a bit?
I liked it for Ursula. I didn't like it for the fact that they took something away from Ariel, because honestly, I'm kind of bored with her character. Like, I barely remember the episodes that she was in before, and I don't really have any strong feelings toward her right now. I really liked young Ursula, just like you guys did, and so I was happy they gave her something a little bit meatier for her story, and I like the way that she turned herself into who she is. But yeah, I was noticing those notes as well, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Is this going to tie back in somewhere, or are they literally just basically giving her Ariel's story? And it kind of seems like they're just giving her the story at this point.
Well, I kind of, and maybe I'm just wishfully thinking, wow, maybe that's, no, I don't know. But maybe Ursula gets the idea for what she later does to Ariel from what happened to her, like the whole stealing of the voice and sending her on land. And like, I thought maybe it was literally just a throw to this is where she gets the idea to take her voice from her. Like, that's how this whole thing works, is because she had it done to her. It's like, I don't know, you know, because I liked the story as it was. Like, the story worked really well. It didn't bother me very much that it was technically Ariel's story, like, from the Disney movie. But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was also a little weird for me, too, was kind of what she was wearing. At one point, I was like, it was almost rocking for me, like a little bit of a Snow White vibe, a little bit of that dress. And I was like, is she going to start? And I'm like, is she going to start singing to birds? Like, I wasn't really sure what was going on with that. I was like, okay, we don't know who we want to be yet. So, yeah, I was a little confused with that, too. So we have the whole concept here that Poseidon tries to get Hook to steal Ursula's voice. That was just, was it just me, or was that just really, really twisted? So there's this, you know, whole idea of Hook taking Ursula's voice because, he wants the squid ink too. Like, I was getting a little confused with all that, but, is this the squid ink that was like back from, was it like season one? Like, that's, the squid ink that was used to, what was that, to get somebody out of a jail cell, right? Wasn't that something to do with squid ink?
And then Neil killed a squid in season 3 and got the ink out of it. Remember, he like pulled it out of the water in Neverland.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
That happened too. That's what I kept thinking of, because like we had the whole Neverland story with Ariel and Ursula, and going back to Ursula's story, like the fact that they gave her, like, he's like, oh, you named me after the sea witch. I was like, aha, okay. That makes more sense, as opposed to her actually being the sea witch. She's just named after her. Because I was so confused as to how they were going to make that work. And I'm glad that that's how it works. Like, it's completely done now. They're two separate beings with the same name, is what I took away from it. I don't know if that's correct. But with the squid ink, I think it was, they were, what were Neil and, oh, they were going to take Pan's power away, and that's what they did. So it would essentially have the same effect on gold should Hook have it.
Right, so we never quite got clarified, did we, as to specifically what was Hook going to do with that squid ink?
Like, I think he was going to strip Rumpelstiltskin of his power and kill him.
Okay, so he was going to use it against Rumpel in some fashion, but we don't know specifically what his exact plot was, but this was just sort of like the loose tool in order to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we end up Hook ends up with Ursula's voice and Poseidon's got the squid ink, and it's just, I just remember thinking, like, worst father ever. How did you guys feel about, like, Poseidon in this episode?
I thought it was really strange that all I could hear was Ernie Hudson's voice, and then every so often he'd try and throw like a Caribbean accent onto it.
Yes,
like it wasn't
Sebastian.
Every word.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it wasn't every word. It was just like every fifth word or something, and I was like, that's kind of weird. Just ditch the accent. Just go your normal voice, really. It's not a big deal. So that kind of bugged me. But other than that, I thought having Poseidon be Ursula's father and all of that worked out really well.
Yeah, I liked him at the beginning. Towards the end, or not towards the, it's not towards the end, because it's when they're on, I think when they're still on the ship, and he has this line that I went, oh God, is that like the worst line ever? And it was something like, don't ever threaten a deity or something like that. And I'm like, that has got to be the worst line ever. I mean, I was just laughing at that point. I'm like, oh, bad line. And,
well,
you know,
I liked that line just for
the
sheer fact that they definitely called him a deity. So I'm like, okay, what else are we going to get now?
Yeah. And like kind of using Ursula as a like mock siren for a while. I was like, all right, we're playing in these waters now, pun totally intended.
Yeah. Right. Right. Seriously. Okay. So we have the backstory, and then we obviously then flash forward into the present, and there's a lot of different plot lines going on in the present. And obviously one of the major plot lines in the present is Regina being able to maintain this cover story with the evil trio and Hook. I really enjoyed watching Regina because I kept saying, oh, come on, Regina, what's going to be like your super secret signal to August that I'm, you know, it's a double cross. Like I was looking for like raised eyebrows and like words that maybe had double meanings. Like I was really looking for something like that to happen. How did you guys like, Regina, secret agent Regina?
It's kind of stressful, but I did like it. I thought when she took over Snow's body that they were definitely going to say something about that, like how kind of strange it was, but they didn't. And so I was a little disappointed that there wasn't like a joke or a snappy one-liner in there somewhere.
Or like, run from the smoke. Like, smoke has never been friendly to you in this town, ever. Yeah, you all just stare at it coming at Mary Margaret?
Right. And she stands there and inhales.
Like, you don't know that's Regina. Why are you, run away. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I was like, no. And then when it was, like, possessed Mary Margaret, that was just, she had these little quirky arm moves and these little head snaps. I'm going, this is just creepy. That was kind of hilarious watching the voice, like Mary Margaret's lips move and Regina's voice come out. That was so, so creepy.
I also couldn't help but wonder if this was the only way Regina could get them the message. I was like, really? This is how you're doing? Like, you couldn't send them a message any other way? It just freaked me out.
You know what, though? You just wonder if part of her just didn't love possessing Snow for like 10 minutes, though. That was pretty funny.
I was hoping we'd have like a Harry Potter where she like sends her face in a fireball up the chimney.
Yeah, and
her face in a fire.
Missed opportunity.
Right, like pull a Sirius Black for real. Like, yeah, exactly. That was kind of funny. So, all right. So Regina was able to like kind of get the signal. Now, here's what bothered me with it. So she's able to get the signal to all of them. I just thought it was unfortunate that she wasn't able to kind of clue Augustin in some fashion. Like I felt like, come on guys, you knew each other for so long. Couldn't you have just said something to, you know, clue him in that you're a double agent? I was just kind of, I was a little disappointed that there wasn't some sort of like, you know, super secret signal or something that she could have clued Augustin.
Especially once Rumpel was gone. I could see her being guarded with Rumpel there because he knew him as long as she did. But once he left with Ursula and it was just her and Corella and what's-his-face, there could have been an opportunity there.
Right. I mean, she could have just started talking complete nonsense and pulling gibberish out of nowhere, which I think would have been a sign to him at least that she's not in with those two. You know, I think she could have done something. So I was a little disappointed in that. I did, though, like his creativity with it. Like when he was, you know, when he has that that really sick little like potion that Gold throws down his throat that basically turns him back into Pinocchio with his nose growing, how he's able to not lie, but not quite tell the whole truth, and he gets away with it. I thought that was really clever. I really, really liked that.
I was a little confused with the whole nose thing, because isn't a part of the Pinocchio story that when he tells the truth, it shrinks back?
You know, my husband said the same thing, and it bugged him. It did. It bugged him. He's like, shouldn't it go back now? And I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I Googled that, too, because I was like, wait a minute.
I kept waiting for it. Like, yes, he would tell a lie, but then there were some truths that he told, too, and I was like, why isn't it shrinking? Like, is that a part of Rumpel's creepy little potion thing? Or
by the end of the episode, did it go back, or was it still really long and pointy?
It went back. Oh. Like, it wore off.
So it's like the potion wore off. So it's not like, okay. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure I don't remember him with the big long nose by the end of the episode. Okay.
Yeah, and I thought that was like a really, I felt really creeped out. Like, when they were torturing him by trying to grow his nose into the fire. I was like, oh. I'm like, because Pinocchio, like, the animated feature is terrifying enough. And then to have, like, this type of torture with Pinocchio, I was like, oh.
Right. Well, even, like, as he ended up as, like, he got the full-blown, like, effects of the serum at first. Like, his whole body went wooden, and his little eyes did this weird, like, metallic clockwork kind of thing. I was like, this is creepy. Yeah, that was, like, very effective. There were probably, like, 8-year-olds that ran, like, scampering and shoving their heads under couch cushions at that point. But it was pretty creepy. So, in any case, they're able to finally, you know, pull off a rescue. I mean, you know, the flaw in the plan basically is that Gold wasn't there constantly. And, you know, if Rumple's not there constantly, I mean, Regina said it pretty well. This is the gang that can't shoot straight. you know, they're not very good at what they do. So they do eventually pull off a rescue with August. And August ends up telling them the story of the author and as much of the author details that he knows. And he says that, you know, when I said I didn't know where the author is, I wasn't lying because you didn't tell me where Henry's book was. So I really didn't know where he was. And the idea is that the author is trapped in his own book, trapped like behind the door in his book. I thought that was really cool. What did you guys think of that concept about the author being trapped into his own book?
I loved it.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was so cool because it was right in front of them the entire time. And we were all like, oh, where could this door possibly be? And it was just a really good twist on something that we were so certain would be, you know, somewhere in Storybrooke, like an actual door. And it turns out that, nope, it was literally in their hands the whole time.
Yeah, I love that go ahead.
No, go.
I think it creates like an interesting new conflict because Regina was resigned to the fact like, oh yeah, sure, it's fine. I'll just take this page and show them what it looks like. But now it has like that added complication of, oh, I can't just take this page because it is the door. So I liked that while they think they have a leg up, there's still all of these conditions surrounding it not being that easy.
Right.
I was going to say, I also like that it explains why the author hasn't, like, intervened. He seems to be pretty powerful in all of their stories, so it explains why he hasn't been involved prior to now. Like, why it hasn't been, he hasn't just been, you know, wielding his power over them the last
right.
three seasons.
He has, like, extra pages have appeared, but he hasn't right. been, but he's not like the catalyst for things happening. So he obviously records what has happened, but he's not like the catalyst to initiate something that happens. So I wonder if the author's even, assuming he was out of the book, and I'm saying a he, we don't know for sure it's a he, do we? Did they use like masculine
pronouns?
Well,
they keep saying he,
okay,
but in every interview, Eddie and Adam are like, he, she, it, I don't know.
Okay, so it's celestial being or whatever it is that the author is here. So I feel like if the author was out of the book, I'm not so sure that the author, I feel like characters get to write their own destinies. Like, I feel like that's kind of a message that consistently goes through Once Upon a Time, no matter who it is that you are sort of the sum of the choices that you personally make, that no matter how horrible things may have been dealt to you or no matter how unfair life is, you are responsible for your choices. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to be disappointed if this author can actually go, poof, here's your happy ending, and you have no autonomy or responsibility for your ending. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I really don't see that happening just because from the very beginning, it's been, okay, you know, villains aren't born, they're made. And so I feel like the reverse of that has to be true, that heroes are made. And so Regina in particular, I think she's going to have to make her own destiny and she's going to have to decide, look, I'm a hero now. I deserve a happy ending. I'm going to go after it, whether or not, you know, the author helps me out. And maybe the author has some sort of ability to, I don't know, do something. But I think in the end, it's really going to be up to her to change her destiny.
I think that's really an interesting point you bring up too, Karen, about how much Regina wants to kind of be the hero and wants to, like, she willingly puts herself at risk for the greater good. Like, she wants to be a good person. She wants to help others. And I wonder if that's not kind of the intrinsic difference right now between Regina and Rumpel, is that Regina, I think, despite her flaws, has sort of started to forgive herself for the bad choices she made in the past and is absolutely trying to move forward. And even when bad things happen to her, she's like, she does get angry, but she manages to push past it and still keep working towards good. Versus, I don't think like Rumpel has ever gotten to the point of where he actually even likes himself, if that makes sense. So none of his actions, you know, he just, everything is just all still messed up because I don't even think he likes himself. And it's sort of that old adage, if you don't like yourself or love yourself, why would anybody else do it? You know? And I think that's kind of a little bit of the differences that's motivating them. So I feel like Regina could like become a hero a lot quicker than Rumpel could because of like where she's like emotionally and I don't want to say like spiritually, but I guess sort of spiritually, morally at right now.
Yeah. And I think Hook falls directly between them. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because like he is so upset with doing one wrong thing and it keeps going back no matter how many like points, I think, or tallies, however Emma describes it, and he has in the hero column, he's always going to focus on how many he has to make up for in the villain column. And so he's having trouble moving past his past self, like in consciousness, whereas Regina, I feel like, is struggling with it, like subconsciously more so than in a conscious state.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I wanted to say about Rumpel is that he's constantly cutting corners too. He always thinks that there's an easy way out, especially when it comes to winning Belle back or becoming more powerful, wanting to escape being under the control of, you know, the Dark One's knife or whatever, but still maintaining all of that power. He wants it all and he wants it in the easiest way possible. Whereas I feel like Regina is really working hard to walk that very difficult path of humiliation. And, you know, she's really trying to set her pride aside at this point and do whatever it takes to become the hero. And that's the biggest difference between them. And I think that's why, in the end, Regina's going to succeed and Rumpel won't.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think they both had, like, similar things. They both had children that loved them, children that really wanted them to be good. And I think, in the end, Regina really was incredibly motivated by Henry and motivated enough that she truly wanted to change, and just Rumpel wasn't, which is like really, really, really sad when you stop to think about it. So getting back to our door and the author and everything, when you guys saw the picture of the door, did it look familiar to you at all? Like, did any Disney movies pop to mind? I mean, to me personally, it looked a little bit like it came from one particular movie. I'm just curious if anybody else had a vibe with the door looking familiar.
No, but now I'm anxious to know which one you think it did.
It looked it looked a little Robin Hood-y to me.
Oh.
It looked kind of like Robin Hood-ish to me. So I'm curious if they were just going for your sort of generic rustic medieval door, or if that door is linked to a very specific storyline, and if maybe that may be some way of getting Robin back, because clearly we did not have enough of Robin this week. Not putting too fine of a point on it, but yeah. Yeah. All the Outlaw Queen shippers had, I'm sorry, what was it? Perhaps 20 seconds of joy. And then all the Swan Queen shippers just had this wonderful moment, which I thought we should probably get to next anyway. But anyway, rough week for the Outlaw Queen people. So it'll be interesting to see where this door comes from, if it does have any connection to a specific person. The other thing is, too, if it's a door, obviously the door is shut or locked or closed in that book. So who's got the key and what is the key?
I don't know. Maybe Hook has it on his hook, because that was crazy how he just like popped it off and, oh, hey, look, my hook is suddenly a key.
So yeah.
Maybe he's got something else hidden up there.
Yeah, because that's going to be interesting to see how that door opens or unlocks. That's going to be really cool. All right. So there was another really cool discussion that I thought that was going on when they were talking about people getting their happy endings, and Killian being concerned that he is going to lose his happy ending, and then Emma putting the pieces together for him saying, wait, if you're concerned you're going to lose your happy ending, then you've actually succeeded. You've got your happy ending. And then, like, what's your happy ending? And was everybody else along with Emma going, Emma, duh!
Yeah, seriously. What is wrong with her?
But it was so beautiful anyway.
So I'll let you guys talk about Hook and Emma, because I mean, I do appreciate it, but I don't get all like over Emma and Hook, but I do know I am in the minority with that.
Oh, so, I get all like that over them, but that moment I was so frustrated with Emma for playing dumb. I was like, come on, girl, you know better than that.
It was really heavy-handed, but I loved that he said it anyway, and I don't know, but it makes me kind of nervous. Doesn't it make you a little nervous about, like, what could happen next?
Emma's definitely in danger, but, I mean, I feel like that happens every season, but this time I'm kind of glad it's not we're going to kill her. It's that they're going to, like, do something different.
Yeah,
well, I'm excited for it to happen, but I think it's a nice change of pace.
And that makes me wonder if, you know, if she goes dark, will he follow her or will he fight to get her back? Because he's struggling so much. But I really want him to be like, no, this is not you, and I'm trying to be a better person.
Yeah, see, I think you're right, Karen. I think he's going to be the savior of the savior. Because I think, I mean, whatever it is that Mary Margaret and David did with Maleficent's child, obviously that is a huge issue with Emma. Whatever, God only knows what they did. I mean, I don't picture them as like murdering children. I just don't see that as having happened. But whatever it is, it's got to be sufficiently terrible that I feel like Hook is going to be the one to make it right in some sense. So I feel like he is going to bring Emma back from this darkness. I don't know why.
I mean, I agree with you. I think that Hook is going to be working for the better for the rest of this series. As much as he's going to be tempted by the past, I feel like he's going to be the one to save Emma, save everyone else, and finally prove to the whole world that he's good.
That would be amazing.
Pretty much.
He's already proved to us that he's the best. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a long time in coming. And I think it'll be really, really cool to see how all that goes. So,
Oh, wait, can I interject for a second?
Sure.
Because was it just me or was there some like serious leftover sexual tension between Emma and August?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I am so here for Hook, you guys, but I was like, whoa, now I remember what it's like to have August on this show.
Yeah, because when he came back, she was just like, oh, I'm glad I didn't have to wait 20 years for you to grow up. And he was like, ooh. And then when Hook walked in, Emma's attention was gone. And he was like, oh, well, all right. Yeah. That's over.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, time for you to be a little boy again.
Well, she was kind of like touchy with him and like touched his face or his shoulder or something and was like comforting him. And I'm like, Emma, wait till Hook gets here. You might get in trouble.
It was so, so true. So true. Speaking of sexual tension, we had poor Belle, I guess, who, you know, is now there with her new love, the Knave. And, you know, she realizes that she was double-crossed by this vision of Killian. And we see her be, I don't even want to say that she was upset. She was like disappointed. I was surprised there wasn't a bigger reaction from Belle on like how Rumpel fooled her. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was, I don't know. On the one hand, I did want a bigger reaction, but on the other, I think Belle just knows at this point that like she's never going to win. And so it kind of made sense for her just to be like, well, crap, that was kind of stupid. Now what do we do?
So she's kind of like resigned. You feel like she's like, yeah, oh well. Yeah. So like I wish you proved me wrong, but he didn't. Yeah, that's sad. So he's really like very far fallen.
I'm glad that they didn't leave that hanging longer. Like, I'm glad that we got everyone figuring out that that happened last episode now, rather than it happening 3 episodes from now when I've completely forgotten that it happened. Like, they sometimes leave things like that open-ended for a while, and I'm glad this one got wrapped up right away.
Yeah. I'm also really liking that Belle's, like, in this relationship with the Knave, but she's like, well, I don't know how serious it is. Right now he makes me happy. Like, I like that he's sort of the rebound boyfriend and not, oh, and now I'm in love with the Knave. Like, I kind of like that maybe each of them is, like, they're each the rebound person for each of, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the rebound person, and she's his rebound person after what's her name? Anastasia. So I wonder if maybe they'll each end up with different people down the road, that this is just like a temporary thing.
Okay, I'm fine with it. She can date whoever she wants. I love the Knave. I love that this is allowing him to be on our screens a bit more. But I need some, like, development before I fall in love with them as a couple. And I just, maybe it's just me, but I don't feel anything for them right now.
No.
I want to.
Even coming from, like, Wonderland, we know nothing about him.
Right.
Like, and I need to know what happened in that gap.
Yeah, and Belle, this season, other than that brilliant moment where she commanded Rumpel with the dagger, seems to have end up an awful lot of the time stuck behind her library counter. Like, she doesn't seem to go out and participate in a lot of stuff, and doesn't seem to be like a decision maker. Like she just seems a little timid, and that doesn't seem like Belle. That's what I think I'm having a problem with. So, who knows? Maybe she'll pop back up. Hopefully something better. So our villains now. So we're basically down a villain. We've had Ursula reunited with Daddy. So we now have 2 villains left. So that gives us Cruella, and that gives us Maleficent. So do you guys feel like it's going to be like one villain at a time is going to get their happy ending, and that's how they're going to dispose of each of those 3 villains?
I would be okay with that. I mean, I liked the way that Ursula went out, although it kind of sucks because this is the first episode that I really felt something toward her, even the older Ursula, and now she's gone, and I'm, like, kind of bummed because I felt like, oh, hey, look, character development, and then so long. But at the same time, I really want, like, a central episode on Cruella and to see that play out, and, you know, because I don't necessarily see her with a happy ending, but I'm sure they could make it work. I mean, she'll be sassy still, and I don't think it'll change too much. But, yeah, I would be okay with a kind of, you know, one at a time they get a happy ending.
Right. And it seems to me like next week is probably Maleficent's week for that to sort of happen, or it to set the ball rolling. And I think Maleficent, we've been made to be sort of sympathetic to since the beginning. Like, she doesn't seem to be all evil. Like, we're definitely meant to think that. So I'm curious if next week is the starts of Let's Redeem Maleficent week, which is kind of interesting.
I'm also trying to remember if in that footage that's kind of still looming over our heads of Emma, like, embracing darkness, if Ursula was behind her in that footage. Because I remember her being surrounded by, like, not so savory people. Like, I don't remember if it was Maleficent or Regina or who it was, but there were people, like, standing behind her, and maybe we haven't seen the last of Ursula. Like, yes, she left with her father, but I'd really be upset if these 3 episodes or whatever is all we get of her. I'd hope that somehow, some way, we get a little more, because I like her now.
She was in front of the 3 of them, but I feel like that was, like, a spot specifically filmed to not be a part of an episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that took place just for a teaser.
Oh, really?
Only because of where it's set. It doesn't really look, I mean, they're in the forest, but it kind of, that's just the way it struck me, because there's, like, an apple falling, and, like, it's very, okay. It didn't feel like anything was taken from an episode. But gotcha. I would like to see Ursula return for one final hurrah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Or at least maybe Ursula. As a hero, like, she'll be fighting alongside the good guys.
Oh.
Ooh, that's cool. So does anybody have anything else to add to our discussion before we wrap this week? Okay, well, then we will be back next week to find out what kind of mess it is the Charmings have managed to get themselves into. So until then, I am Laura.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.